Father, we thank you that you have made known to us your Son, who he is, that he is the King, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer of the world. Help us by your Holy Spirit to realize his manifestation to us and so believe and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, just a brief homily this evening. You know the story of the wise men or the magi from the east, maybe Persia or southern Arabia, meaning that they had traveled perhaps 1,900 miles. And they did so because they were told of that supernatural star that was indicating to them the birth of this newborn king. Now, the star disappeared when they got to the Holy Land, so they went to Jerusalem to find out who might know where this new king was. And this was news to those in Jerusalem. It's disturbing news, and especially to King Herod, who was the king of the Jews, quote unquote, at that time, but only because he was appointed to be king by the Senate of the Roman Empire. But Herod assembles the priests and the scribe to find out that the Messiah, the king, was to be born in the town of Bethlehem. And so he told the wise men to go ahead, and when they found the child, to come back and report to him so that he too could go and worship this child, which of course was a sham and deceitful, because Herod did not want to relinquish his power, his very, very corrupt, ruthless power. He wanted to kill the child. And so the wise men went on their way, and the star reappears again, and so that star takes them directly to the house where this child was. And by now, Jesus would have been maybe a year old, maybe a little bit older, which is why the wise men ended up not at the manger and stable, but at a house. And so just very briefly, two lessons I want to share with you that we can learn. The Gospel of Matthew was written for Jews, perhaps Jews who were now Christians. In recording this event of the wise men, the clear message was that this Jewish Messiah, this king, was not only for the Jews, but also for the non-Jews, for the Gentiles. And the wise men were Gentiles. They came from a pagan country, and perhaps were even pagan themselves before they were converted to believe that there was this Messiah that was coming, this king that was coming. The point is, they had no Jewish blood in themselves. And so this Messiah was clearly not only for the Jews, but also for the non-Jews. But we could also compare these wise men with another group, one that had already been there to worship the Christ child, the shepherds. The shepherds were not highly regarded. They were even thought to be of lower intelligence. They would have been very poor. They would not have been prestigious at all in the eyes of anybody. The wise men, on the other hand, were very prestigious. They carried a lot of weight. They were learned. They might have been knowledgeable in natural sciences, or knowledgeable in biology, in math, astronomy, astrology, in medicine, and literature, geography, and the arts. And even if their focus was only on religion because of their pagan spirituality, they still would have been very intelligent. And obviously they were wealthy. They were obviously much more prestigious than the shepherds. And yet both come to worship this child, the same child. So the point is, this child is a universal king. He is the Christ, or the Messiah, for the Jew and Gentile, the Savior for any and all who would receive him, no matter who they are. This is why St. Paul says in Galatians, "For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is No Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. Within the Christian church, where Jesus is Christ, King and Savior, no one is greater or lesser than another. No one is inferior. Our value, no matter who we are, is determined by Christ alone. All are equally and completely forgiven. All stand before him and his Father, spotless and holy. And that is the highest status you can receive as a sinner. The second point is found in the example of the wise men. Quickly, a quote from Luther here. Although the wise men enter a poor house, find a poor young woman with a poor child, and also there is an appearance so unlike a king that their servant is more honorable and reputable, yet they are not troubled, but in great, strong, full faith, they put everything out of their eyes and mind which nature with its arrogant might adduce and bring into play. They simply follow the verse of the prophet and the testimony of the star and believe him to be king. Fall down, worship him, and give presents to him. So the wise men had the prophetic Old Testament writings and they had a star. That's all they had. And it doesn't appear at this point that others were interested in Jesus as the Messiah, even though earlier the shepherds, Simeon and Anna, had spread the word. When the wise men got to Bethlehem, they found a poor child with poor parents who had come from a disreputable town north of there. No fine clothes, no luxuries, and nobody else of importance honoring him as the king. He had no noticeable nobility. The circumstances were very humbling. But the wise men did not look around and say, "Whoa, I think we made a mistake. This can't be right. Besides, being here does nothing for our reputation." No, unlike Herod, they gave no consideration to their own prestige, position, intelligence, knowledge, or wealth. They were overjoyed. They humbled themselves. They bowed down and worshiped the child of lowly birth. It had been made known to them, revealed to them, that this was the one to be worshiped. And there's only one to be worshiped. And this was him, God. God in human flesh, who had come for them, to redeem them, to save them from all their sins. And so, the next time, when it could be embarrassing for you to confess faith in Jesus Christ, where it might do nothing for your reputation, where people might think you are silly or stupid or superstitious, where it might be hard to stand up for your faith or other Christian truths, where you might be ridiculed or persecuted, where you might have to stand alone and against those who are important, even maybe friends and family, it is good to remember these wise men. They risked everything. It was made known to them that this child is the Messiah, the King, the Redeemer. They were not afraid not only to believe, but also to bow down and worship him. And he has been made known to you as well. So go and do likewise. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. We pray. And this evening we'll have two special prayers. I have a call from Deborah, and Todd is back in the hospital again. And he's doing okay, but he's there again. And also would like to pray for Jaleel Locklear. Jaleel is the first son of Pastor David and Callie Locklear. Jaleel was in the hospital, and he's very much a special needs child, as was his brother Camden, who died a year and a half ago. But he was in for a while, and now he's out at home. He's going to have some further testing. I think he's 10. He might be 11 years old at this point. He's from, like his brother Camden, from China, too. So we'll pray for both of these brothers in the faith. Savior of the nations, light of the Gentiles, and glory of Israel, shine your bright gospel, light of life and salvation, into the farthest corners of the world and into the darkest recesses of human hearts, that people everywhere will be drawn to you, including us and all the members of this congregation and all our loved ones. We pray, especially this evening, that you would be with our brother Todd. Help him to continue to endure the affliction that you have given him, and to do so in faith. But again, we ask that he be healed, as this is still his wish as well, too. Help his family as well to look to you, the God of all grace. We also pray that you be with Jaleel Locklear, that you would help him and his parents, help him to heal, help him to remain in the grace of his baptism. We ask, Savior, that you would lead us all at last out of this evil world of darkness to heaven, where we will enjoy with all saints and angels a life that will never end. We ask it in your name, O Christ, the light who shines in the world and within us. Amen. We continue now with the manifestation of at his presentation from Luke chapter 2. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Lord, you can dismiss your servant in peace, as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel."